Hello and welcome to the Health Report with me, Norman Swan. Today, putting your best face forward. Find out which side of your brain is dominating when you communicate. Are surgeons really hard-hearted when compared to their physician non-operating colleagues? 6,000 photos offer some answers. The impact of surgical complications, not on the patient for once, but the surgeon herself. And people who look after your health, like naturopaths, homeopaths or iridologists, but who in most states are unregulated, unlike professionals who have what's called a protected title, such as doctor, dentist, chiropractor, psychologist or nurse. Well, a report released this week, which, if accepted by health ministers, will for the first time give all states and territories the ability to take complaints about all health practitioners and act on them. Anne-Louise Carlton is Manager of Health Practitioner Regulation with the Victorian Department of Health and is also Project Manager for the Australian Health Minister's Advisory Council on a National Code of Conduct for Unregistered Health Practitioners.
It's about all those health practitioners who are not registered under the National Registration and Accreditation Scheme, so they're not registered with ARPRA.
ARPRA is the Australian Health Practitioners Regulatory Agency, so doctors, so I'm registered with that as a doctor, dentists, chiropractors, there are boards that regulate our performance and so on. So if we're not doing well, we can be counselled or even in the most extreme case, struck off.
That's right. So there are 14 professions that are regulated under the National Registration and Accreditation Scheme through the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Agency. We're talking primarily about the practitioners who are not required to be registered under that scheme.
Such as?
It covers speech pathologists, nursing assistants, personal care workers, medical scientists, but it also is intended to cover any person who provides a health service but who doesn't identify with a particular profession.
So massage therapists?
Definitely, yes.
Personal trainers?
Now, there is some grey area around those, and that really very much depends on the definition of a health service. Some states have quite broad definitions of what constitutes a health service, and it picks up well-being.
And what about iridologists, naturopaths?
If they're providing a health service, then they're intended to be covered by this regime.
But you still haven't told me what the problem is. I mean, what has come to authorities' attention that makes them worried about this group of people?
Look, the vast majority of these practitioners practice in a safe and ethical and competent manner. But there's a small percentage who do the wrong thing and they place the public at risk. And they may be practitioners who've come to the attention of a range of regulatory bodies, you know, therapeutic goods, consumer affairs, they've been advertising in a false or misleading manner. They're demonstrating a pattern of unethical or illegal conduct. And what this regime is intended to do is identify those people through a complaints process and then have the capacity to protect the public from future harm. So if the practitioner is not a fit and proper person to be providing a health service, if they've been convicted of a serious offence, this scheme will enable a commissioner to say, well, are they a fit and proper person? Should they be continuing to provide health services?
So I'm just trying to get down to specifics without getting too lurid. But I mean, we're talking about people who might say that they can cure cancer and take people off their cancer therapy and put them on alternative cancer regimes, or people who say that they're psychotherapists and have sex with their patients. Is this the sort of territory we're talking about?
That's exactly right. So if you want to get an idea of the sorts of conduct that we're talking about, the scheme does in fact operate already in New South Wales and in South Australia. And you can go to the Commissioner's websites in each of those states and you'll be able to see the sorts of prohibition orders that have been issued by those commissioners.
And when you say commissioners, you're talking about healthcare complaints commissioners.
That's right.
And in Victoria, they're called the Health Services Commissioner. But essentially, it's parallel to the national board registration. These are people that you can go to when you feel that your healthcare has not been up to standard.
That's right. And Queensland has enacted legislation to give effect to these arrangements.
So what are you recommending in this paper for consultation?
This is actually the second stage of the process. The first stage, we looked at the nature of the problem, looked at the options for addressing the problem, and then made some recommendations to health ministers last year. Health ministers agreed to proceed with a national code of conduct regime. They agreed in principle to proceed with mutual recognition of prohibition orders that are issued in each state and territory, so a practitioner can't cross a state border to avoid regulatory scrutiny. And they also agreed to a national register of prohibition orders. The idea is that there would be a national code of conduct. It would be administered in each state and territory. The draft code, it's a combination of ethical and legal obligations. Practitioners are expected to maintain their competence in their chosen field. They're expected to work within the limitations of their experience and training. They're expected to refer on appropriately when there's a need to. And there's a range of requirements around record keeping, insurance, infection control, when they've got a serious health condition, the way they advertise.
So that's fine. If you're an anaesthetic technician, which is one of the groups, or an audiologist, which is another one of those groups who are not covered by existing boards. But, you know, if you're a psychotherapist doing some weird and wonderful, obscure form of psychotherapy, and you're asking them to keep up with the latest, it would usually entail them abandoning their unproven therapy, wouldn't it?
This code is not intended to prevent reputable practitioners from practicing within a paradigm that is not the Western biomedical science paradigm, but it is intended to prevent people from advertising in a false and misleading manner, misleading people as to the scientific basis of their treatment, not referring on appropriately when somebody has a condition that would be better treated by another practitioner. That sort of conduct is the conduct we're most concerned about.
What's the punishment? What power have you got over a homeopath?
The powers are triggered by a complaint, and the relevant commissioner in a state or territory would investigate that complaint. If the commissioner found that there was a breach of the code of conduct, then in some states the commissioner would be able to directly issue a prohibition order. The way it's intended to operate in Queensland is that it will be the tribunal that issues the prohibition order. The prohibition order can actually attach conditions to the person's practice, or it can prohibit them from practicing altogether. And if they breach that prohibition order, then it's a criminal offence.
And is this information publicly available when a finding's been made?
At the moment, in those states that have the regime in place, the prohibition orders and public statements are issued. And if you go to the New South Wales Health Complaints Commission's website and look under decisions and look under public statements and orders, you'll find a list of the prohibition orders that have already been issued under the regime, similarly in South Australia. What ministers have agreed, health ministers have agreed in principle to do, is to have a single national register of prohibition orders.
Now, I regularly get emails from listeners who are extremely unhappy with the complaints process that they've gone through. They feel they've been unjustly dealt with, they haven't been listened to, or it's taken forever, and the person's still out there practicing. And this regime relies on the goodwill of the public to actually make complaints, not just for their own benefit, but for the benefit of the community so it doesn't happen to others. Is there any streamlining of the complaints process going on? Because this will flush out a lot of complaints which have otherwise not been able to be dealt with by the existing structures.
The consultation paper does address some of the policy parameters for giving effect to this regime in each state and territory. The outcome of this consultation will be a series of recommendations to state, territory and Commonwealth health ministers about how to give effect to this regime in a nationally consistent manner.
And we'll have a link to your website on the Health Report's website. Anne-Louise, thank you very much for joining us on the Health Report.
Thank you, Norman.
Anne-Louise Carlton, they're inviting submissions and comments from the public, and the deadline is the end of April. This is the Health Report here on RN with me, Norman Swan.